praise. What a week this has been. Just to come and give him thanks and praise. I appreciate God's goodness. I thank God for all he does and what he's going to do. It's going to be awesome. And so we're just so thankful for his goodness and what he does for us. And this has been a great time and opportunity for us. And so we're about to go right into the Word of God. How many know the Word has been important to us this week? Amen. Minister to our lives. You think about the Word of God and think about his goodness. One of the things the Lord reminded me of today was the book of Philemon. And we had Brother Jared minister that at our church. We were going, and Brother Scott was there. He did two sessions. And it talks about Onesimus, who was a slave but became Christian. And he was making sure that the people understood. See, what happens is people get a mindset. And they kept looking at Onesimus as, well, he's still what he was. And I'm so glad God reminded me of that. Because I've been just meditating on things. Even if I'm not coming up here, I'm meditating on things. You never know what's going to happen. And so I'd asked him, Sister Nicole last night, to bring me this right here. I don't know if you can see this. What is that?
Ordination. Certification of ordination.
So, you know, I don't get to pick and choose.
That's right.
I know people think I pick and choose. Mm-hmm. I just got to obey God.
Right.
And I remember saying, it's time. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That's all I got. That's what I'm telling you. It's time to get lined up, because just being there is not enough for God.
Right.
He wants all of you. And we marched right through them doors, and we wound up at the end of them doors with this certificate. And then this certificate kind of hung for a period of time, not being used. Just hung there. Was he still God?
Yes, absolutely.
Was he a liar?
No.
Or was he telling the truth?
Telling the truth. Right.
Now, it makes you feel like somebody lied or somebody didn't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But in Philemon, he says, listen, this is what Onesimus was.
Right.
Somebody tell me what his name means.
Hallelujah.
I gave it to several of you for the service. What his name means, Onesimus?
Profitable or useful.
Profitable and useful. I mean, no, this is just a paper in a frame.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Right.
This is just stuff you buy.
Right.
It perishes, goes away. This is really not the ordination. The ordination is sitting right at that table right there.
Amen.
That's tangible and real. This stuff just sits there. It sat there when Onesimus was a slave. And when he's free, it's sitting there. No change. What changes is when you step into the ordination. That changes. Makes all the difference in the world. I pastored for 6 years before I ever received any kind of plaque like that. 6 years. I even asked God, I said, God, does anybody believe in me? I'm doing what you told me to do. It doesn't take paperwork.
That's right.
For 6 years, we built the church. We preached the word. And we encouraged people to stay saved and do what God's called them to do. For 6 years. And then I had somebody say, hey, are you ordained? I said, no. He said, well, we want to try to help you. And that was Brother Ankar. I went to Tennessee. I had to go to Tennessee to do it.
Right.
Had to leave my state,
right. Go
to a different state.
Right.
Meet folks I never knew.
Right.
Never preached a single sermon for them, not one.
Amen.
And they gave me an ordination. I appreciated
Amen.
That.
Amen.
And you know what? Even though I had the paper didn't mean really much to me. I appreciated it. What it meant to me, God called me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Whether it was hanging on a wall or not, it made no difference. God called me. And I'm going to do what God called me to do. You got to be loyal to the call. So listen to all the messages we've had. They all line up. Because you can have all the paper in the world. Unless you're loyal to it, it doesn't matter. And so the enemy always seeks to destroy. Now I'm probably not making it easier for Brother Josh right now. But sometimes real hard.
That's right.
You get the real person. And that's all we want.
Uh-huh.
We want the real person, as raw as it is. And so, I wanted to make sure that we're not taking this lightly or for granted, that we've seen the hand of God show us really what true forgiveness is and how to walk that out. Everybody's got to walk that out. If not, not a word said tonight you'll receive. You'll shake your head and you'll be, oh yeah, but you'll never receive it. Receive is an act of your own will.
Right.
You got to reach out, grab that word, and apply it to your life. Other than that, it just went in your ear. You heard the word, you might have heard it with joy, but it didn't benefit you.
Right.
The Bible says the sower went out to sow a seed, and some people received it with joy, but it didn't benefit them. Because quickly, the cares of this life kind of just swept it away. But those who prepared good ground, had their hearts right, received that word, and it benefited them. And so, one thing that I want everybody to know, we don't tell anybody what to speak on. I'm not involved in that part. And I'm very open to anybody who wants to share. I'm not the only one with a message here. But one of the things that's certain, you have to receive. And so, we appreciate the opportunity. I want to get both of them to come right now. Stand up here and just turn around and face everybody.
Amen.
The reason I asked for both of them to come, God don't call one person. If you're married, you called. The wife's called. And so there's not one called, the other one's not called. Not one ordained, the other one's not ordained. It takes an ordination. It takes an ordaining. It takes a giving of ourselves 100% to the call and the giftings of God, because that's valuable to God. The gift and the callings are without repentance.
Right.
Yes, they are.
You think God made a mistake?
Nope.
In the fight, my brother said, man, God had to make a mistake. He ain't made no mistake. He ain't seeing you in your mess up. He's seeing you out the mess up.
Right.
He don't see your brokenness. He sees your when your brokenness is fixed. Right. And that's how God sees it. If God was waiting for us all to get it perfect, ain't none of us would be called.
Right.
Not one of us.
Right.
But I want you to look out there. That's the folks prayed you back.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Day in, day out.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
But sometimes it takes prayer. It takes crying out to God. Even when you don't understand, it makes no difference.
Yes.
But you cry out to God on behalf of a brother. This is what Philemon was instructed. He said, listen, I know Onesimus was a slave. But if you keep looking at him as a slave, you'll never receive anything from him.
Right.
It's time that the brothers come together and we start letting him in the congregation and treat him like one who's just like a brother.
That's right.
Now I want to ask you something. Is this your brother?
Yes.
That we ought to be ready to receive from the word of God regardless.
Yes.
Now this ain't going to be easy.
Right.
We knew it wasn't going to be easy.
That's right.
We knew that.
Uh-huh.
But this is the path you got to walk down.
That's it.
You know, you may go out, but you got to come back.
Yeah.
And this comeback, sometimes it's difficult. But we want to let them know we love them. We appreciate them, and we hurt and cry with them, and we rejoice with them tonight.
Amen.
The Bible says that we should rejoice.
Amen.
It says we should rejoice when the prodigal comes back.
Yeah.
We should rejoice. So I hope that you're ready to kill the fatted lamb, get the shoes ready, put the ring on the finger and the robe on the back, but we ought to rejoice that our brother's back. Amen? Back is not sitting in seat. Back is fulfilling the gift of the call. That's back.
Yes.
There's a mission that God has ordained and assigned to our life.
Yes.
Right.
And listen, the Lord had me from time to time. These little moments, we had moments. There were moments we tried to capitalize on these moments. But I remember sitting in the Midrash and I said, God wants to release your voice again. Remember that, huh?
Amen.
Yeah. And again, fear and all that stuff just comes flooding in. Yep. You might give the word of the Lord, but you can't help what the attack's going to come.
Right.
But how many know we're beating the attack tonight?
Yeah.
And so we have to be thankful for that. And so
right.
I didn't want to make it too difficult, but I guess I just did. I don't want to put too much pressure, but I couldn't let them just come
right.
and not say.
Right.
And that's why I asked. Just bring me the ordination
right.
last night, because I wanted you to understand, paper's paper, but the call of God is the call of God.
Right.
There's nothing.
Right.
There ain't no enemy in hell can stop what God calls
right.
if we have say yes. On the other side of yes, that's the victory.
Right.
But if you're on this side, can't make your mind up, you don't know what to do, there ain't no victory there.
Right.
We betwixt between decisions. But he says, how long will you be betwixt between two decisions? If it's Yehovah, follow him.
Yeah.
If it's Baal, then follow Baal. Go do Baal.
Right.
But if it's God, you do everything in your might
right.
and all your power
Amen.
To shout praises for Yehovah. Amen?
Amen.
So we ought to be thankful. And so we're going to let them come. And I don't know if Nicole's going to share too. But it's their turn.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you all.
Mm-hmm. We love you, girl.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I knew that the ladies would be sharing. I didn't know how we would share. And the other day, Josh, when you know they were knew that they were gonna share different nights, he said, "Hey, I like when a woman shares before the husband. Will you please share before I go up?" And I said, "Of course I would. I would be honored to."
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah! Yes.
That never scares me. It never puts an ill feeling on me. It never does any of that. I'm okay with that. But today, I felt that the enemy just suddenly attacked me. And I couldn't believe it. Because for so long, I had been waiting for this. And then I thought for a second, I wasn't in here but myself a little bit. And I'm like, we're about to step on some toes. And it's not fair. There are people that have been loyal here. There are people that stood the test. They didn't go in and out. They show up every day. They're not wishy-washy. And here we are. We get to come up here and have a time. I felt like maybe we shouldn't have gotten a time. Other people were in line, and they did right. Oh, my God, that's something to do. So why should we have a term come up here? And anyway, got to share with Hillary. She prayed with me. Rob and her encouraged me. They didn't even really know that I was in here having those feelings. But they felt that they should even share. So it was just God that he does. He comes and he comforts you in your time of the enemy attacking you and when you don't even know. But I had so many things that I knew that I wanted to share this week and, you know, all the things, but you don't never really know how it's going to go. But in the end, I had wanted to say, when I got a chance to come up here, I wanted to tell Pastor thank you for really taking the initiative to pinpoint the men in our lives, to tell them to stop and think. To tell them how important they are to their lives. And that we do need them more than they could ever think or imagine. And sometimes it just feels, maybe feels simple as a man, that I just get to be a man, but you don't get to just be a man. There's a need from you that you will never really understand. And you set, a tone that caused them to be responsible, and that they don't get to just walk away from that. And I know that every woman felt that, and that it meant something, because sometimes I feel like maybe you don't say enough. Like, is he ever going to address this? Is he ever going to just say? And you did. You said it. You said it out loud. And I feel already that I can feel that there will be a change, you know, not only from my husband, from everybody, and just the general vibe of it. So I just wanted to tell you thank you for that and for doing that. And the only other thing that I had to share, he said, oh, you got a to-do list? I'm like, uh-uh, I got a to-say list. And a to-say list is not a whole lot. It's just some stuff written down. But it says, this is just a short little thought process. I have so much to say. And there's going to be so many days that I'm going to share. Because I know that God has something for me. And I mean, it's going to be for women that have dealt with this and doesn't know how to deal with it. But this was just my little short tidbit. It said, I can't explain what all of these services and word is doing to me. I kind of hate it because my mind has to think about the ways my husband went against our marriage. It hurts, and it makes me think upon it. I kind of never thought about the ideas or thoughts that he faced because it was easier not to know. I didn't care. I didn't want to see it. I could get through it all. I could get through all of this without focusing on the things that grabbed his thoughts. What influenced him to go there? Was it the beauty? Was it the smell? Was it the touch? I wished for him to be influenced by me and not somebody else. This is the part that was the biggest battle that no one could understand, better yet feel. I felt it every single day, every single second. It was crushing, literally would take my breath away. I would try to pray it away or even wish it away, but it seemed to go nowhere, nowhere whatsoever. Could I be healing in this very moment right now? Could it all be being exposed so that it could be dealt with? Are we receiving counsel right now in front of every single person in our church? Transparency is what this has been. We couldn't hide it. It was in our face, and it still is. Tonight, I am coming up here because my husband asked me. I told Pastor Charlotte one night after service that I would open doors for my husband. I would go before him, and he never had to worry. I would carry his wrong. When he asked me to speak before him, he had no idea what it done for me, for my spirit. It was a moment that I knew was confirmation to what I felt. I am going before him. Before the calling of our Savior. I used to think there was no way this could be over. I used to think there was no way this could be over, but I was tired and ready for it to be over. But God, he just said, hey girl, it's just beginning. So here I am right now in this moment, going before my husband, Jehovah You are my all in all. With or with, I put with or without, and I scratched without out. I put it, it's right there. Mm-hmm. I said with or without my husband, and then I scratched it out. With my husband, I will seek you all the days of my life. Amen. Thank you for what you have done and for where you will take us. This is more than I could have ever planned for. We have so much more to share, so much more to do, so much more to walk, so much more to talk, so much more to praise, to be humbled, to repent, to love, and to be all in. We are here for it. I love y'all.
He's so good to us.
Yes, he is.
Right.
Yes.
So good. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how this is going to even go. I'm just going to get through it.
Yes.
I know that. Amen. I have to get through it.
Amen.
But like Nick said, I just want to thank each and every one of y'all. Because for 3 years, I couldn't even pray for myself. And today, just all throughout the day, a couple of times, I told him, I said, I don't know why you kept for 3 years. As many times I came in and out, in and out. This was, the scripture says when, you know, I don't know exactly how it goes, but when they return and they see the house clean, mm-hmm. they come back seven times more.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This was pure hell for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Mentally, physically, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, I said, I don't know why you kept me, but I know I don't want to go back to that.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
Ever don't want to go back to that. That was a miserable. I don't know why you even went there. Why? You was no different than Adam. No different than David. Because this is what this message is going to be on. I'm going to talk about Psalm. I'm going to read Psalm 51. I have quite a few scriptures. But it all started, the title of this, first of all, is it all started with that word Brother Nathaniel gave. Says you're going to be a vessel of grace, a vessel of mercy. Hallelujah. Because you're going to show what I have experienced, the grace like I have never experienced it before in my life. And every time, you know, he caught me off guard is what he did, plain and simple. I let my guard down.
Yeah.
I let my guard down. I did just what Adam did. I let my guard down. And he got me from focusing right here. Mm-hmm. And he got me right there. And just like that quick, as soon as you turn, that's a wrap.
Right.
If you don't quickly turn back, if you stay right here and you contemplate it, you dwell on it, you think about it, you hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
You're done.
Mm-hmm.
When he turned like my head this way, I should have quickly turned back that way.
Right.
Quickly. But I did.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard me say it before, nobody's fault. I blame nobody till the day I die. It was all Joshua Alito Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
It was my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple, it was my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But every time that I was in this tree for 3 years, I felt like that the living Yeshua, that living tree, he was right here, and he was like, he was just waiting for me, you know, just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the enemy was, he whispers, mm-hmm. so does he whisper.
Mm-hmm.
He tells you, you don't have to do that.
Yep.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
So he waited patiently. It's like that tree came close every time. He was just waiting. I see Zacchaeus up in that tree. You're gonna come down. You're gonna come down. You don't know why. You don't know how. And I didn't. I didn't know how. I didn't know why. But he would preserve me and keep me after willfully disobedience. Willfully breaking his command. But yet here I am.
Amen.
And it's all because of faith coming in. All because of my family, my brothers and sisters who never gave up on me. When I gave up on myself, I'm telling you, I gave up on myself. There's no way that he would have me right here back in the same spot. So many times in my mind, I was passing it on. Oh, Brother Rob's stepping in. Brother Scott stepping in. Brother Chad, because these guys never left. They never left. They still here. Look at you. He put you on the platform, and you jumped right off of it. You jumped right off of it. I'm going to just scoot up to this because Pastor mentioned it, and I had it right here in my notes because these are two scriptures every single day. I can honestly say every single day the Father never let me, whether it was early in the morning, whether it was late at night, whether it was driving to and from work or whatever I was doing. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of Elohim are not to be repented of.
Yeah.
He would never let me forget that. Two scriptures, if he never ever let me forget, that was one of them. The gifts and callings of Elohim are not to be repented of.
Right.
The phrase, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, means that God's gifts and callings are irrevocable.
Yeah.
And cannot be taken back. Once God has given a spiritual gift or issued a calling to a person, he does not change his mind.
That's right. Right.
Or regret making that choice.
Right.
He didn't regret calling me. I regretted him calling me.
That's right.
But he didn't regret. He didn't change his mind. I changed my mind. I'm going to be honest. I didn't want it. I didn't deserve it. That's how I felt. I didn't deserve this. No way. No way. He said that does not mean that people cannot misuse their gifts or fall away from God, because they do. But rather that the original divine endowment and purpose remain unchanged. In Luke 9:62, it says, But Yeshua said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the reign of Elohim. And that's what I did. I had put my hand to the plow, and in a million years, nobody could ever tell me that this would happen to me. No way. Because I was so in it. I was so all in. So all in. But yet, just, it don't care who you are. The enemy don't care who you are. The minute you let that guard down, that's what you're going for. That's where you headed at right there. Just like Brother Scott was telling us last night, you have to be loyal. No matter what it takes, no matter what you're going through, you have to be loyal. Because guess what? He's going to be loyal to you. Leading up to Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur and here, I mentioned it the other day. I have been so anticipation about what, you know, I want something. There's no way I'm coming to these feast days this year and leaving like I came in these last 3 years. No way on this God green earth. My mind was made up and I was not going to do it. I was not coming to Sukkot and have to worry about work. I was taking off the whole 8 days because I knew I had an expectation of him. I had an expectation of him of doing something in my life that... That's gonna be life changing from this day forward. And today I told him that. This is that sign that says this season of opportunity. You're giving me a second opportunity. I will not waste it.
Thank you, Father.
I will not waste this one. And it says plowing a field requires focus and attention. A plow man who constantly looks back will create crooked roads. Similarly, a disciple of Yeshua must be fully committed and cannot be distracted by their past or be hesitant to move forward. And that's where I was stuck at. Until I wanted to almost say to Brother Nathaniel, come and gave me that word. Because when he gave that word, I wasn't even coming to Yom Kippur that night. The first night he preached. Because I went home and that thing ate me up before I even got home. Because there was no way. How? You talking about this love and you got to forgive.
Come on.
Try.
But man, forgive. How you going to forgive when it's you that did all the hurt? And you heard, I think I mentioned this. Uh-huh. Maybe y'all haven't heard it. But as I was sitting in that service, that's what was going through my mind. But my wife called. Because it was, I got home right at 6:30. I'm like, man, by the time I take a shower and get this, you know, you try to talk to you, you got like a million excuses. I said, look, I'm not going to go. And I just pulled up. I was sitting in the truck, still fighting, still battling. And she called, or she texted. She said, you should just hurry up, take a shower and come. They're just getting ready to finish with song service. So I said, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go. And man, did I need that word. But because even though I was fighting it and sitting in and listening to it, there's no, you're not talking to me. This is not for me. This is for everybody else up in there. This is what I'm thinking in my head the whole service. And I'm worked up, and then I go home, and I'm still dealing with it. And then on my way to work that morning, because he was talking about how you got to love and you got to forgive. And the Father tells me, you got to love yourself.
Yes.
Once you love yourself, he said, I forgave you. Mm-hmm. You got to forgive yourself, and then you're going to walk in where I, you're going to do what I called you to do. So I was, after that, oh man, that was just to forgive myself and to love and myself like Yeshua love. And like, oh, look, there was so many scriptures. I can't tell you the amount of scriptures everyone was sending. Pastor Charlotte was so faithful.
Amen.
To me. She was petty text every single day. Just to tell me she loved me or just whatever. And I appreciate that because that's what kept me. That's what sustained the love of the people of our church. But then Brother Scott last night, I'm going to just read a couple of scriptures that he read in Deuteronomy. 8 and 11. Starting with verse 11. It's Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18, I think it was, that I'm going to touch, read right quick before I get into the actual message. It says, be on guard. Be on guard lest you forget Yehovah your Elohim by not guarding his commands and his right rules and his laws, which I command you today. Lest you eat and shall be satisfied, and build lovely houses and shall dwell in them. And your herds and your flocks increase, and your silver and your gold are increased. And all that you have is increased, that your heart then becomes lifted up, and you forget Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mizraim, from the house of bondage. Took me out of bondage.
Right.
And what I do, I jump right back in the same bondage he took me from.
That's right.
Brother Nathaniel made he was talking in the message, he made a statement about cutting something down at the ground and then just walking away from it. And that's what I did the first time when this happened. I just cut it down and I thought it was over with, so I just turned my back and kept it going that way, you know. Thought I was doing the right thing. I was doing what he called me to do. Mm-hmm. But listen, what I should have done and what I've been telling him ever since then is I should have uprooted that.
Right.
I should have never left this little stub sticking out. Because you know what little stubs do? They grow back. They grow back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I've been telling him, Father, this Sukkot, you uproot whatever needs to be uprooted in my life. Is it going to hurt? Yes. Is it embarrassing? Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Because we're in a small community. So everybody knows who you are, what you're doing, especially when you got a wife that's Facebook friendly.
Yep.
That just puts it out there. So everybody knew where, you know, my position in Faith Temple Ministries Church. Everybody knew it in this past.
Right.
So to be here and to be here tonight and then that on video again, it's like, oh man, it's on.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It's on, but it's embarrassing because to me, that should have never, ever, ever happened. But I've been telling them, just uproot. I don't want to leave no more stuff. Whatever you got to uproot in my life, I don't care. I don't care what you have to upset. I don't care what I have to do because I'm tired of this.
Amen.
And that's the spot I had to get to.
Yes.
You have to get to a spot to where you're tired. Yes. You're tired of living the way you're living. You're tired of doing the things you're doing. You're tired of going around the mountain 40 times or in the wilderness for 40 years. You're tired of doing that. And you have to get to that spot. It's the only way you're going to change. Because if you're not tired of it, you're going to always go back to it. You're always going to go back to it. So verse 15 says, and this is the verse, because, you know, all we hear is, oh, man, I'm in the wilderness. Here I go in the wilderness again. You know, traveling through this wilderness and whatever, complaining. But look what he says, and I highlighted this because when Brother Scott read this, man, it was like, okay, well, look what he calls the wilderness. We complain in the wilderness. But look what he says. Who led you through the great and awesome wilderness?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fiery serpents and scorpions that thirst where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, in order to humble you and to try you, to do you good in the end.
That's right.
He puts you in the wilderness not to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls it great and awesome. Uh-huh. He puts it in it to humble you. You then shall say in your heart, my power and my strength of my hand have made for me this wealth. But you shall remember that Yehovah your Elohim, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth in order to establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today.
Right.
So I just wanted to touch on that because he called it, the main verse I wanted, because he called it a great and awesome wilderness. Uh-huh. We complain when we're in it, but he called it great and awesome.
Uh-huh.
So as I was praying and trying to say, okay, oh man, what am I talk about? What am I say, Father? And he says, go back and listen to that message, that word that Brother Nathaniel gave you.
Uh-huh.
So for 2 days I've been listening to that. And he says, when he says, you're going to be a vessel of grace and a vessel of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what does a vessel mean in scripture? He says, this is Brother Nathaniel telling me, he says, you have passed the test. You have passed, you are coming out.
Amen. Amen.
What vessel means in scripture? In the Bible, a vessel is often a metaphor for a person, something or someone designed to contain or carry or pour out what Yehovah places inside.
Amen.
So if he says that I'm going to be a vessel of grace, and listen, I needed that. Because my wife mentioned it a couple of days ago in one of her speakings, how I would say, well, you know, maybe they need to get it. Or I wasn't showing enough compassion, as she would say. And it was the truth. Because then when Brother Nathaniel said, you're going to be a vessel of mercy and grace, I was like, man, that's on time. That's perfect. Why? Because we're going to use what just happened in our lives, because people out there, they're hurting. They're hurting. Like she said, she's got women that she knows she's going to have to talk to. There ain't going to be, I don't know, like, not only is there going to be women, but I believe that there's going to be married couples, whether they're young, whether they're old, that's going to struggle.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that I'm that vessel.
Amen.
That Yehovah is steady pouring into all that grace and mercy, and I get to pour it out like it was poured out on me.
Amen.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:14 through 21. A worker approved by God. A worker approved by Elohim. It says in verse 14, remind them of this, earnestly witnessing before the master, not to wage verbal battle, which is useless. We ain't got to get in a debate with anybody. He calls it useless. He says to the overthrowing of the hearers, do your utmost to present yourself approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
Amen.
But keep away from profane, empty babblings, for they go on to more wickedness. And their word shall eat its way like gangrene. Humanus and Philetus are of this sort, who have missed the goal concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and overthrow the belief of some. However, the solid foundation of Elohim stands firm, having this seal, Yehovah knows who are his. Listen, we can fool people. We can put on a nice suit. We can sit in the pew. We can even get up here, and it's dangerous to even speak on his behalf and not living up to the calling that he has on your life. And that's what I was doing. That's exactly what I was doing. I'm going to be honest with y'all tonight. That's exactly what I was doing. I was coming to church for a couple months. Getting up Shabbat morning, just going through the motion. That's all I was doing, going through the motion. But he says, you have missed the goal concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and overthrew the belief of some. However, the solid foundation of Elohim stands firm, having this seal that Yehovah knows who you are, knows those who are his. He knew. Right. Maybe I pulled a wool on some of y'all. Maybe I don't know who all might have known what was happening. I'm pretty sure someone who has a good, strong spirit of discernment could probably, you know, feel like, man, Pastor Josh is off. And I don't even want to say Pastor Josh. Well, after tonight, I am going to say it. And I'm not saying that because, I'm humbly saying that.
Yes.
So trust me, it's by far, like, it's still it's still right here. It's not right here no more. It's like kind of right here. It's steady working its way to the back. Because like I told you, I have to put that behind me. I can't keep it in the front because I'll never be right here.
Yeah.
If this was still right here, I'd never be right here.
Yeah.
I'm saying tonight.
Yeah.
So I thank him for the voice.
Right.
The enemy robbed me for 3 years, man.
That's right.
3 years, I wouldn't say nothing.
Right.
I wouldn't want to say nothing. But I thank him for tonight. He says, and let everyone who names the name of Messiah turn away from unrighteousness. In verse 20 and 21, these are the two verses. It says, but in a large house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay.
Uh-huh.
Some unto value, and someone to no value.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if then anyone cleanses himself from these matters,
mm-hmm.
he shall be a vessel unto value,
mm-hmm.
having been set apart of good use to the master, having been prepared for every good work.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to tell him tonight.
Right.
That's what I'm doing here tonight. Cleansing myself from these matters so I can be a vessel unto value.
Right.
You did not keep me 3 years if my life doesn't mean anything to you, or my calling doesn't mean anything to you. It's got to have value. That's what he's telling me. You have value. You have been set apart.
Right.
Joshua, you have been set apart.
Uh-huh.
Vessel is a life set apart to hold and release what God gives. It's not just for me to keep on for myself.
Right.
He's not pouring grace and mercy, or have poured grace and mercy into my life for me to not pour it back onto someone else. It's just not going to happen. So the minute I get a chance to pour it back into somebody, you can best believe it, I'm going to pour it on them. Just like it was poured on me. They're going to have to know their worth. I will make sure that they know their worth in the Father.
Amen.
The grace is a spiritual that God gives. Grace is a spiritual gift, often refers to an unearned, freely giving gift.
Amen.
I didn't have to work for that.
Right.
He freely gave it to me. I didn't deserve it. Unearned. I didn't earn that.
Mm-hmm.
He freely gave it to me. From the divine love, mercy, or strength that flows not from human effort, but from a higher source.
Amen.
It's what enables, look what it enables, transformation.
Amen.
Forgiveness. And inner peace.
Amen.
And man, did I need inner peace.
That's right.
It presents a heartfelt plea for divine mercy, cleansing, and renewal. And it centers on a transformed posture before Elohim.
Amen.
You have to. I had to posture myself before Him.
That's right.
What grace represents? Grace is Elohim's undeserved favor, love, and power at work in and through us. Mm-hmm. What it does, write these down, it saves us. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Mm-hmm. For by favor you have been saved through belief, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Elohim. Mm-hmm. It is not by works, so that no one should boast.
Right.
It ain't you not coming up here and say, oh, I did this. Oh, I did that. No, he said you can't boast. It comes from the divine, from me.
Amen.
From Elohim, I did that. I gave you favor. I gave you grace. I gave you mercy. I had mercy upon you. You didn't have mercy upon yourself.
Right.
He said, I did that for you. Another one. It sustains us. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he said to me, my favor is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness. Mm-hmm. Most gladly, then, I shall rather boast in my weakness so that the power of Messiah rests on me.
Hallelujah.
It transforms us. Titus 2, 11 through 14. It transforms us. Titus 2, 11 through 14. It says, for the saving gift of Elohim has appeared to all men. It just didn't appear to Josh, to Pastor Josh. It appeared to each and every one of us that is in here. I'm sure at one point in time in y'all lives, y'all had experienced the favor of Elohim like never before, his grace. It says, appeared to all men, instructing us to renounce wickedness. But you see, we have to do something. He said, I'm not giving you grace and mercy for you to just not do nothing with it at all.
That's right.
I'm giving it to you to renounce wickedness.
Uh-huh.
Don't even look that way. Stay loyal. Renounce
right.
wickedness
right.
and worldly lust, and to live sensibly, righteously, and reverently in the present age,
yeah.
meaning in this age. This is our present age, and that's how he's calling us to live, righteously. Renounce wickedness and lust, looking for the blessed expectation and esteem, appearance of the great Elohim and our Savior, Yeshua Messiah, who gave himself for us. To redeem us from all lawlessness. All lawlessness. You mean even adultery? Yes.
Right.
All lawlessness.
Right.
And to cleanse for himself a people, his own possession, ardent for good works.
Amen.
And this is another little topic. And flows through us to others.
Right.
And flows through us to others. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. As each one has received a gift, serving one another as good trustees of the manifold favor of Elohim. If anyone speaks, let it be as the words of Elohim. What should we be saying? How should we be talking? Speaks the word of Elohim. If we're going to speak, we speak just like he speaks.
Uh-huh.
If we're going to act, we act just like he acts.
Yeah.
Just like our master acts. If we're going to talk, walk, all that, we're going to do it just like our master did it, Yeshua.
Hallelujah.
If anyone speaks, let it be as the words of Elohim. If anyone serves, let it be as the strength which Elohim provides.
Right.
So that Elohim might be praised. Who's getting the praise?
Yeah.
Elohim.
Right.
Not me. Because remember, I couldn't do what he did. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't forgive myself. I couldn't release my tongue to talk again. I tried numerous times, but I couldn't. The stronghold the enemy had on my life.
That's right.
Might be praised in it all through Yeshua Messiah, to whom belong the esteem and the rule forever and ever. Amen.
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 Grace is not just a feeling. It's a living current of divine love.
Amen.
Look, we know a current. I was thinking about the electricity. You know, you got these 220, 240, you got 440 or 420. That's like a big dog of current. And that's the current of his love I want flowing through my body. I want it to radiate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just be the same old Pastor Josh. I don't want to come up here and be the same old Pastor Josh that you know, that brought a messages before. No. I got to be different. I got to be stronger, and I got to be more equipped. I got to be more focused than I was before.
Right.
I'm not going to squander this opportunity.
Man.
I will not.
Amen.
I will not.
Hallelujah.
I want that living current that he's talking about right here of divine love. I want to express the love like not only did our family, Faith Temple family, express, but the love Yeshua expressed on me. And the love Elohim expressed upon me. That's the love I want to reciprocate back to the people. Whoever it is, I don't care who it is. I want to reciprocate that love, that type of love. Vessel of grace, spiritual meaning. To be a vessel of grace means what? Receiving God's grace, recognizing we are empty without him. Holding grace, allowing his mercy, forgiveness, and spirit to fill us. Pouring out grace, letting his love flow to others through our lives, words and actions. Because that's what they're looking for. You know, we can say all words. You can say words all day long, but they're looking for more than words. They're gonna see how you act. Are you a man of your word?
That's right.
Are you a man of his word? It's not about perfection. It's about availability. Because I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. None of us will ever be perfect. There was only one man that was perfect. But I want to be available. I want to be available. The power is not in the vessel itself, but in what it carries. 2 Corinthians 12:9, which I gave earlier, it's in here again. He said to me, "My favor is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." Grace flows through surrender. Mm-hmm. You have to surrender. We sing that song, "I Surrender All," but we kind of do it. We got, you know, that kind of hit us in the jaw when the right hook, when Pastor said that. Do we? Are we surrendering all? We might sing that, and are we really meaning it? Because when you surrender all, you don't question. He say you do. He tells you to go, you go. He says to speak, you speak. The hard stuff too at times. So we have to, in order for grace to flow, you gotta surrender everything. Says Elohim often uses simple, even cracked vessels. Mine was shattered. I don't know how he kept it together. Because it was shattered. It was broken to a million pieces.
Hallelujah. You're so good.
But some way, somehow, he picked up all those pieces and he put me back on that wheel. That's what he did. He put me back on that wheel.
Uh-huh.
And he began to just do it.
Yeah.
Do what he does best. He's a master at it.
Yes.
You know, there's no way a human could take those pieces that my life was in and place every part back better than it was. Not even like it was, better than it was. There's no way because it was in the middle. He says even the cracked vessel. In fact, the cracks can allow more light to shine through. Our weakness becomes a channel for his strength. Our story becomes a testimony for his mercy.
Hallelujah.
Every believer is invited to become a living vessel of grace. Becoming a vessel of grace, listen to this little devotional. It says, "Lord, fill me until I overflow. Not so I can hoard your blessings." I don't want to keep it all in. "But so I can become a channel of your love. Let my life carry the fragrance of mercy. My words drip with kindness, and my heart reflect your heart."
Amen.
A vessel must be empty, letting go of pride and self-sufficiency. A vessel must be clean, allowing God to purify motives and heal wounds.
Yeah.
A vessel, most importantly, has to be open. You can't pour nothing into you if you got a top on you. It's got to be open, empty, and clean, and willing to be filled and poured out. He's not just filling you up for you to keep it. He's filling you up for you to pour it out on someone else. A vessel of grace is someone who carries Elohim's mercy, love, and spirit. We're not chosen because we're perfect. He didn't choose me because I was perfect. He knew what I was going to do.
Right.
He knew. But that didn't stop him from calling me. That didn't stop him from choosing me to do this. We're not chosen because we're perfect, but because God loves to fill the humble. He takes great pleasure in filling the humble.
Amen.
When we let his grace flow through us, we become living testimonies of his kingdom.
Right.
So, you know, and I'm meditating, I'm thinking, I'm praying, I'm asking where I'm going, what I'm going to do, what direction you want me to go to. Because there's always some, if whatever you're going through in life, all you got to do is pick up the word and he's got a demonstration, an explanation or whatever. He's got it in the word. You can find it to come out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He's got it in there to where you can overcome it. Let me show you. Somebody did this in the Bible. But let me show you what he did to overcome it. So I'm going to talk about King David. Uh-huh. He did the same thing Joshua Littlefield did. The same exact stuff. Uh-huh. So we're going to start in 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 27. David and Bathsheba. It says, and it came to be at the turn of the year, at the time sovereigns go out to battle, that Dawid sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But Dawid remained at Jerusalem. Big mistake. He shouldn't have remained in Jerusalem. He should have been over there with his men fighting.
Right.
You're the king. Maybe he didn't feel like he had to. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what he was thinking. But if he would have been on the battlefield, he would have never slipped up. He would never let his guard down. And it came to be at evening time that Dawid rose up from his bed and walked about on the roof of the sovereign's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very good to look at. And Dawid sent and asked about the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And Dawid sent messengers to fetch her. And she came to him, and he laid with her, for she was cleansing herself from her uncleanness. And she returned to her house. He sent his messengers to fetch her. Go get her. And the woman conceived and sent and informed Dawid and said, I'm pregnant. Then Dawid, now we're talking about kings. This is not just, you know, a servant Dawid. This was Dawid the king, King David. Then Dawid said to Joab, send Uriah the Hittite to me. And Joab sent Uriah to Dawid. And Uriah came to him, and Dawid asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the fighting was going. And Dawid said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And Uriah went out from the sovereign's house, and a gift from the sovereign followed him. But Uriah lay down at the door of the sovereign's house with all his servants of his master and did not go down to his house. You're talking about someone that's loyal.
Right.
He had way more character than what Dawid had in this moment right here. But we're going to read Psalm 51 because Dawid got it right.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they informed Dawid, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house. So Dawid sent to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? And Uriah said to Dawid, the ark and Yisrael and Yehuda are dwelling in booths. Uh-huh. And my master Joab and the servants of my master are encamped in the open field. And I, should I go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your being lives, let me not do this. And Dawid said to Uriah, remain here today also, and tomorrow I'll let you go. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. And Dawid called him, and he ate and drank before him. Look at what he's manipulating. Uh-huh. He's trying to get him drunk to where he can cover up his mess.
Yeah.
Right.
And it came to me in the morning that we wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah.
Yes.
And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the front of the toughest battle, and you shall turn away from him, and he shall be stricken and shall die. And it came to be, as Joab watched the city, that he appointed Uriah to the place where he knew there were brave men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab. And some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died. And Joab sent and reported to David all the events of the battle, and commanded the messenger, saying, "When you have finished reporting all the events of the battle to the sovereign, then it shall be, if the sovereign's wrath rises and he says to you, 'Why did you go so near to the city when you fought? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who struck Abimelech, the son of Yerushet? Was it not a woman who threw an upper millstone on him from the wall, so that he died in Thebes? Why did you go near the wall? Then you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead.'" This is premeditated stuff. He planned this. And the messenger went and came and reported to David all with which Joab had sent him. And the messenger said to David, "The men have been mighty against us and came out to us in the field. But we drove them back as far as the entrance of the gate. And the archers shot from the wall at your servants. And some of the sovereign's servants are dead. And your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead." And David said to the messenger, "Say to Joab, 'Do not let this matter be evil in your eyes, for the sword devours one as well as another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it, and strengthen him.' And the wife of Uriah heard, and Uriah, her husband, was dead, and she lamented for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the deed that David has done was evil in the eyes of Jehovah."
Right.
Listen, the deeds that Joshua Aleo Philip has done, had done, was evil in the eyes of Jehovah.
Right.
But look, here comes the prophet. Look, Jehovah is not going to let that just fly. By no means. No means necessary. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 14. Nathan rebukes David. Here comes the prophet. My prophet came many times. Many times. Many text messages I got. Warning after warning. It says, "Then Jehovah sent Nathan to David." Who sent Nathan to David?
Jehovah.
Look. If pastor's sending a text message to you, it's not coming from him. We all know that.
Right.
He ain't going to say nothing. He ain't going to move unless the Father tells him to send it.
That's right.
See, I mean, I can show you the text messages. I know you haven't heard of me from a long time. You know, I don't say nothing unless the Father tells me to say it. And boom, here it is. Scripture. It's not what he thought. Or how he think it should have been handled. This is what the scripture said. This is how you should handle it. This is what you should be doing. And this is what you're not doing. Just like the prophet right here. "And he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich one had flocks and herds, very many. But the poor one had one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and kept alive. He loved that thing. And it grew up with him and with his children together. He ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came." I wonder what Dawi was thinking as this. He had to have felt something. He had to have been like, uh-oh. Yeah. He knows. "And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. And the wrath of David burned greatly." Maybe he didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he didn't
That's
feel
right.
it.
That's right.
Because if you did feel it,
mm-hmm.
or if it was on you, you wouldn't. He wouldn't have burned greatly.
That's right.
he wouldn't have been mad against the man. He said to Nathan, as Jehovah lives, the man who has done this to a son, this is a son of death. Also, he has to repay fourfold for the lamb, because he did this deed and because he had no compassion. Then Nathan said to Dawid, he got it after this statement, you are the man. You the one that did this, King David. King David. Thus said Jehovah, listen, Jehovah doesn't care what status you got. If you're a covenant breaker, if you're not gonna put your focus on him, don't care. He don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. That would be King David, I guess, in our day. Our president. Got all the power in the world. Jehovah doesn't care. You a simple man. You a man, I'm a man. He doesn't look at status. He doesn't look at what job you got, what qualifications you have. He doesn't care about all that. All he cares about, I want somebody to follow my son and to die to self just like he died for y'all, for me, for us. That's all he cares about. Keeping my laws, keeping my commands, keeping my Torah. That's what he cares about. He don't care about who you are. He don't care what job you got. You are the man. Thus says Jehovah Elohim of Israel, I anointed you sovereign over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Shaul. Come on. I anointed you, Joshua. Mm-hmm. And I delivered you. One time before, I delivered you from this mess that you just jumped right back into because you didn't uproot. You just cut right at the ground level and just walked away, thinking it was all done. But when he came back, full force, the enemy, when he came back. 2 Samuel 12:8 says, I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and Yehuda. And if that were not enough, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the word of Jehovah to do evil in his eyes? You have struck Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and his wife you took to be your wife. And you have killed him with the sword of the children of Ammon. And now the sword does not turn aside from your house. Because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says Jehovah, see, I am raising up evil against you from your own house, and shall take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it in secret. But I shall do this deed before all Israel and before the sun. And Dawid said to Nathan, I have sinned against Jehovah. He didn't say I sinned against Uriah. He didn't say I sinned against the people. He said, I have sinned against Jehovah. And Nathan said to Dawid, also Jehovah has put away your sin. And also Jehovah has put away your sin. You shall not die. That was grace and mercy being poured upon David's life. It was being poured into that vessel. Even though you did all what you did, I'm going to wipe your sins away. I'm going to take it away from you. However, because by this deed you have greatly scorned Jehovah, the child also who is born to you shall certainly die. The consequences for your actions. And I am so grateful.
Amen.
So thankful.
Yes.
And it's not even because of me, but it's because my kids and people praying for them.
Yes.
Because that could have happened to any one of my children. Anyone. Just like that. 3 years. 3 years of going, running back to this. Come back to church for a couple months. And listen, let me be honest. It happened every time after Sukkot. The last 2 years after Sukkot. I spent 2 years at Sukkot with y'all. Bought a house. Remember taking pictures with the little frame last year? The year before was the little bitty tent. Pastor Charlotte got her head out the window like this, taking a picture. That was the year before that.
Uh-huh.
2 years right after Sukkot. But you know what I told him today? Not after this, of
course. Not
happening.
Thank you, Father.
Loyalty.
Yes.
Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Psalms 51. Amen. And we're going to end with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is my prayer.
Right.
This is my prayer to you, Father. Mm-hmm. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim. 51, verse 1.
Yep.
Show me favor. Show me grace. Show me mercy, O Elohim, according to your loving commitment. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my guilt.
Yes.
And cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. I accept them. I man up to them. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I don't never want to forget it. I always want to remember it, but I will not let it hinder me. Amen. I will not keep it right here no more. Ever, 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 ever. I will not, it won't be in front of me. It will be behind me. It's ever before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be proven right in your words. Be clear when you judge. See, I was brought forth in crookedness, and in sin my mother conceived me. See, you have desired truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you make me know wisdom. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I am clean. Wash me, and I am whiter than snow.
Hallelujah.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Let me hear joy and gladness. Listen, when you see me acting a fool out there with Cam and Evie and James, it's because I got joy and gladness back in my life. And that was missing for 3 years, and I'm not, I'm going to put the granny pants on, and I'm a fool. Why? Because of joy and gladness.
Right there with you.
Joy and gladness. Yeah, so you might, you want to dance around the fire? Absolutely, let's go. Let's do it. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
That's right.
Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your set apart spirit from me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because when he's not there, that's a lonely spot. When he takes that presence away from you, that's so lonely. So lonely, so miserable, but you know, most important, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Restore to me the joy of your deliverance and uphold me, noble spirit. Let my transgressions, let me teach transgressors your ways so that sinners turn back to you. That's the goal I'm aiming for. Let me teach transgressors your ways. Why? Because sinners will turn back. Deliver me from blood guilt, O Elohim. Elohim of my deliverance, let my tongue sing aloud of your righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Yehovah, open my lips, and that my mouth declares your praise. For you do not desire slaughtering, or I will give it. You do not delight in ascending offering. The slaughterings of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken heart. Heartbroken and crushed, O Elohim. These you do not despise. This is the spot he had to get me to. I had to be broken. I had to be broken and tired of where I was at in order for him to do what he had to do. Do good in your good pleasures to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in slaughterings of righteousness and in ascending offering and complete offering. Complete ascending offering. Then young bulls would be offered on your slaughtering plates.
Hallelujah.
When I read that and begin to put it, well, Sister Becky mentioned one of them or two of them verses last night, and I was like, oh, she's going to read the whole Psalm 51. But she didn't. But man, what a powerful prayer. And that's my prayer to him. Creating me a clean heart, Elohim. Restore joy and happiness like never before. So I am so honored.
Right.
So my heart is full. Full. that he has given me another opportunity.
Right.
And there's no way I'm putting my hand to this plow again and turning back from it. No way, no way, no way. And I'm going to tell myself that every single day. I have to stay loyal. I have to stay loyal to them.
Right. Hallelujah.
So I appreciate y'all. The nervousness went away pretty fast. I told him, if this is the message that I have to, you have to give me peace. I have to have peace before you even come up here.
Right. Hallelujah.
And it wasn't long before I started talking that there was a calm. So I just thank him. So that's how I knew that he gave me this right message for this time right here to share. Because I asked him, I said, man, I could find it in the Bible somewhere. And instantly it was just David, you know, what King David did. So yeah. I am going to be a vessel, just like Brother Nathaniel said, that you're going to be a vessel of mercy and grace.
Hallelujah.
Thank y'all so much. I really do appreciate each and every one of y'all. You have no idea how much I appreciate y'all. So, anybody's got anything?
Hallelujah.
So let's stand and we're going to dismiss.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for tonight. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy.